Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Testing, testing, hot out, bound car, 1, 2, 3, 4, testing,
hey, boy, you know, Ralph, I'm getting a little nervous out here. I don't know how you can keep so calm back there.
Get ready. 10 seconds. 5 seconds. Go.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Your one definition of a friend is someone who's there when you need him. Well, I needed him and he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Elton
Jim.
Good morning, Elton Jim.
Elton Jim.
The one, the only, Elton Jim Toronto.
I'm back. Welcome to WGN 720 AM. Jim Toronto with you here, filling in for Nick DiGilio, who was here just a week ago as we were creeping close to Christmas, and a week later, we're creeping right up into the new year. So we'll do a little waving goodbye to 2019 as well as peeking ahead to 2020 as we not only say goodbye to an old year, we say goodbye to an old decade, and we say hello to the beginning of the second fifth the second fifth of a century. We are beginning. We have already finished one fifth of this century. I don't care how old you are. That's got to make you feel old. A fifth of a century. We've already completed. 20 years. Done. Wow. And we'll have the usual fun. I've got Ro Coleman here. She's just doing, what are you doing, a quadruple work today at the station here?
Triple-double overtime.
Yeah, like my that. God, I hope you're getting paid enough here. My gosh, what time did you start?
Started at about 8 o'clock today.
8 in the morning?
No, 8
in the afternoon. Okay,
okay, all right. A couple hours ago.
Well, okay, that's not too bad, but you just got finished doing Rick Kogan's show. And now, I just, this is a little inside baseball, but every so often I like to, you know, peel some of the layers of the onion, let you peek in behind the curtain to let you see how the great Oz does all this. So just a little inside baseball here. So why didn't we do the show in the other studio?
Because it was easier to just move over.
Because of everybody getting in and out.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. But, you know, I mean.
But you don't like the studio.
I have no problems. These studios are pretty much the same. You know, but we were in the other studio last time.
No, we were here.
No, no.
We're always here.
We? Where were we?
Jim, we're always here.
Gee, Joe, I mean, what is
See?
It?
See? You owe me another dollar. That's two.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. I've worked with Ro a few times now, and for some reason, in the midst of talking to her, I initially had been mistakenly calling her Joe. And then we made a big joke about it, and all the words that rhyme with Joe and Mo and Bo and Lo and No and Stowe, and we didn't know. You know what? We didn't even get to the words with two letters. We just went through A through Z.
We said go.
Go. No. But I'm saying is I didn't get to like a word like Stowe. You know, or glow. You know, with two letters. Hey, you know what? We've got 5 hours. We'll get to that.
We have plenty of time.
Yeah, no
plenty
kidding. Of time. Plenty of time. But as usual, I'm going to stand up for the whole show. If you go on WGNradio.com, I believe you can watch me. And so that's why I certainly now have, at home, I slap myself whenever I'm trying to, you know, going to pick my nose or something. Because this, you know, before there was a good time in radio when the audience couldn't see you. But now, you know, we're multi-platform. We're multi-platform. You know, you got to be multi-platform in today's media world. And so, yeah, you know, I don't even realize there's cameras here, but there are. And so I have to make sure that I don't do anything obscene or gross or anything. But I do stand. A lot of radio personalities sit. But I like standing. It keeps the energy going. And but you will see me probably around 3:30 or 4 leaning against the console here. We got lots planned for you tonight. As I said, we'll be here until 4 a.m. I'm going to be here till 4 a.m. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to be here till 4 a.m. So I would ask, suggest, or demand that you stay with me as well. What are you doing? I mean, come on, you're not, nope. First of all, there's no school, right? School's out till at least January 5th or 6th. Oh, no, 5th is a Sunday. So to at least January 6th, most likely. Most people are taking off, probably. I mean, we get done today. It's December 30th. So you're knocking on New Year's Eve. So I'm assuming that a lot of people have taken at least a couple of days off before New Year's Eve. So just sit back. Relax. Thank you so much. I had a lot of good reaction to the Christmas Carol, the live presentation of the Christmas Carol I did, the one-man show. No one-man shows today in terms of, it's going to be a one-man show, but not any kind of presentation like doing different voices and characters and stories. We're just going to have fun with a lot of topics. So as I said, usually I always try to fill this show up with at least 5 or 6 pounds of radio baloney and stuff it into this 1 pound bag. And tonight is no different. We got lots of cool things to talk about. I'm here, Rose here, and we also have someone that's working with us today. His name is Andrew, correct? And Andrew is kind of, now, Ro, I got to ask you, I mean, so is he shadowing you?
No, he is a new producer here for WGN Radio, so he's co-producing tonight.
So he's co-producing. So yes. What will fall under his responsibilities of the co-producer tag?
He's doing the podcast and editing while we got the show going for these 5 hours.
Oh.
Taking that load off.
Okay. Is he going to take the big load like when you hit that button, when you hit the commercials? Is that one of those big loads he's going to take off of you when you,
no,
you hit
that? No, I keep that load.
Oh, you keep that load.
I keep that load.
Yeah, this is really, people say, Jim, is radio complicated? Look, we'll go behind the velvet ropes again. We try to make this sound very complicated. Oh, it's really easy, right?
It's super simple.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it sounds complicated. It looks very technical. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting in front of this board here with all these lights and all these dials and all these levers that go back and forth. I basically know what three of them do. And yet I'm able to sail the ship. And if I'm in trouble, then I look at Ro, and then she hits the button when I don't hit it. Or sometimes she doesn't hit it because she's too busy, talking and doing stuff. I'm just joking.
I'm just joking. Way to throw me under the bus, man.
I'm just joking. I should wait until 3:30 to throw you under the bus.
Yeah.
Hey, what am I doing? I'm not thinking. I shouldn't be throwing you under the bus at 11:20.
I'm going to walk out and leave it to Andrew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, Jesus. Ah! I mean, I love you, Andrew, but, you know. Although, I got news for you, Andrew. In about 4 seconds, I can teach you how to do the board, too, so don't worry about it. No, so we'll have fun here tonight until 11 o'clock, or, I mean, until 4 o'clock a.m. It's Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. We'll take a quick break. Like, for instance, for Andrew, if, for instance, Ro has to leave the room, or, you know, she faints, or, you know, maybe something happens, if you have to hit the commercial button, does she tell you where the commercial button is? Yeah. So just so you know, you don't hit the commercial. Ro, give him a little lesson as to when you hit the commercial button when I do a show.
Just like our listeners, we don't hit the commercial button until you hear no switching.
No switching.
No switching.
That's the key. So let's test this out. We'll do a little dry run. Now, I know Andrew's not going to hit the button, but just for your sake, because we haven't worked in a week, so I'm going to see how quick you're good at this. So here we go. 3, 2, 1. So I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. I'll be here till 4 a.m. We've got this and a whole bunch more. We'll be back after this. No switching. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning from 11 p.m. till 4 a.m. Hope you will stay on board. If you are an insomniac, if you're a third shifter. What's that? Okay. She's talking in my ear. That's a little more inside baseball. Sorry about that. Wasn't expecting you to talk into my ear at that point. So that's why you threw me. Yeah, so if you're a third shifter, if you are a insomniac, if you have to get up at 1 or 2 in the morning for the feeding of the kid, whatever reason you are up, please stay with us because we're going to have a little fun here. I've got a few things that I want to talk about. A lot of new laws going into effect in a couple of days as soon as the clock strikes 12. As soon as that first second goes, new laws. And, of course, the biggest one that we will be confronting and experiencing and hearing so much about, of course, is the one that we've been talking about for almost a year now, if not more. I'm not sure when the law actually passed, but certainly the city and the state are abuzz, no pun intended, with the legalization of recreational marijuana. Oh, I see Andrew with a big smile on his face. And that's one of the things I want to talk about. There's been a lot of discussion about the legal things, and there were some talks about delays because some city aldermen wanted more African-American ownership of the dispensaries. And don't forget, just because the law goes into effect at 12 o'clock, 12:01, for instance, on New Year's Day, most dispensaries will not open until 6 a.m. So, interestingly enough, this is the interesting dichotomy that goes on here. So, starting at midnight on January 1st, recreational marijuana is legal. But the dispensaries don't open until 6 a.m. So, I guess the question is, if you want to smoke marijuana at 12:01 to ring in the new year and ring in the new decade, where do you buy the marijuana legally so you could smoke it at 12:01 when you can't, because you can't buy it until 6? Now, I suppose that if you have medical marijuana already in your stash somewhere, then that will suffice. But if you don't, there's an interesting six-hour gap there. So perhaps, a lot of independent business people may be put out of business with the legalization of marijuana, but there might be a six-hour window for some of those small, independent, business people, if you know what I mean. So we'll talk about some of the new laws. Specifically, I want to talk about marijuana because the fact is, will the new marijuana laws affect you? If you are not a smoker, I'm going to hopefully open the phones here and talk to you. This is a little while in the show, but I throw that out in the air along with the smoke of the marijuana. But will this change your behavior at all? Will you experiment if you don't use it? So those are some of the things I'd like to talk about. Right after the break and the news at 11:30, though, I want to pass along some what I think is really helpful advice. Going into the new year, we always make resolutions. We always want to talk about bettering ourselves and evolving and working on our bad points and elevating our good points. And we do a lot of self-examination, a lot of reflection, a lot of introspective thought about who we are, what we are, where we're going, where we want to go, and things like that. And so I'm gonna play Oprah here for a little while and really talk to you about how I faced one of my greatest fears recently and have overcome it. And not only have I overcome this fear, I actually now enjoy facing this thing that at one time I viewed with dread and just outright fear. And now I have faced it. I've overcome it to the point where I enjoy doing it. So if I could pass some of that on to you as we look into, as I said, a new year and a new decade, and as we begin the second fifth of this century. That's what I'm calling it. See, when the clock hits midnight, I am not going to say Happy New Year. I'm not going to say Happy Decade. I'm going to say Happy Beginning of the Second Fifth of the 21st Century. Wow. I know it's a mouthful, but that's what it is. I always have to be different. So I will talk to you about what I've done to face one of my fears. I will also give you a little update on my new scent for 2020. Several weeks ago, I was filling in here. I was talking about looking for a new cologne. My current cologne is not only almost at the very end, which is fitting for this end of the year, but they also have not made it in years, and I cannot find it, and I don't want to spend hundreds of dollars for bootleg copies on the internet of or just old bottles. So I'm looking for a new scent, and I may have just about nailed it down. But if there's any more suggestions, I'm still open to those. So I hopefully will hear from some of those folks out there that men who either wear cologne or women who like a man who wears cologne and likes a certain cologne. So once again, I shouldn't say it's a bisexual conversation. it's not gender specific. How's that? And one of the things I wanted to talk about is million-dollar ideas. Do you have a million-dollar idea? Have you ever had one? I think I've got a couple, which makes those $2 million ideas. But I wanted to pass these along. And if you have any that you always thought would be kind of a cool idea, I'd love to hear some of yours. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. So there's that. And whatever more we could think about, whatever you want to bring up, phone lines are always open at 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break and be back after this. No switching. Hey, good morning, everyone. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. Be here till 4 a.m. And sometimes I do officially christen the show as well as christen the studio I'm working with or working in with, of course, a nice spritz of cashmere woods. My favorite scent. It says here, up to 7 hours of freshness, which completely covers the show. We're only here for five. I got two extra hours of freshness to deal with. And believe me, if you sit in this studio, you talk to this microphone, a lot of people talking to this microphone, we have these little kind of shields over it, and sometimes they do smell a little. So I give it the studio a little spritz. As I said, Cashmere Woods, you can find it at any kind of store. I get no kickbacks. I get no promotional, endorsements for this. I just love the smell of my Cashmere Woods. And I have to say, I have not gauged the popularity of Cashmere Woods since I've been talking about it on the radio for now about, I would say at least 3.5 years between this and my podcast, maybe four. I've been talking about Cashmere Woods. And every time I go to a store, whether it's a Menards or a Target or a Jewel or wherever I get my my Glade, the Cashmere Woods is always in short supply, meaning that a lot of people are getting it. So I don't know if I've had an impact on the Cashmere Wood sale. I'd like to think I did. But if not, it is a great little spray if you're looking for a new scent for your home for the new decade or for the new second fifth of the 21st century, which starts in a couple of days. Now, Ro, my producer, a few weeks ago when I brought my Cashmere Woods in, you looked it up on the internet. Remember?
I do remember.
Do you remember? You had a nice list. Could you do that again?
On it.
Of the ingredients? I do remember something like amber and citrus and lavender, but I remember there were a few other ones. And so I just wanted to pass this along because, you know. Love a nice Cashmere Woods. So what I wanted to bring up this evening, going into, and this may go into tomorrow morning, right? Well, this show certainly will. So I was talking about facing your fears, okay? And this is really a fitting topic to talk about because, as I said earlier, as we go into a new year, we always look back at the previous year and we look back at ourselves and our lives and our situation, and we look at our good points and our bad points and things that we'd like to improve on and things that we'd like to stay away from that we've done, you know, always on this journey and evolving and just you know, setting goals. That's natural for this time of the year. And so I think, you know, facing fears is one of those. Now, I should say that I did face one of my fears recently, not because I necessarily wanted to, not necessarily because I thought that I should, or that it was something that I felt as if I needed to do, but rather it was indiscriminately thrust upon me, shall I say. And it's a byproduct of a bigger issue. And as I said, so I just sort of all of a sudden it dawned on me in dealing with this one issue that, because of A, I might have to do B. And that's when I had to face this great fear. So I thought I would share this with you, and maybe it will help you as you look into the new year and look for ways to improve yourself. And maybe there is that one or two things out there that you've always wanted to do, or that you've always been afraid to do, or whatever. Maybe I can help you. We'll try. So, about 3 weeks or so ago, after a long period of time, many years, almost more than 10 years of my wife dealing with an odd pain that she had in her foot. And she went to many doctors and really wasn't getting a lot of satisfaction from the doctors. I don't even know if these doctors were thought that her pain was serious or not. But having witnessed this throughout the last 10 years or so, I knew it was real. And she certainly knew it was real because it was hurting her quite a bit. She was getting this shooting pain just indiscriminately in her foot. It sounded as like it was a nerve problem. And ultimately, it was proven just that. She wound up having a growth on a set of nerves on the side inside her foot. It wasn't visible to the outside world, which is why I think the first few doctors didn't really think it was real. Or, here, just rub this... this old witch doctor's so one doctor literally gave her, he said, here, rub this on it. It's a secret potion. I don't know. 8 years of law school, 8 years of medical school for try this secret potion. Literally, a doctor gave her something and he said, try this. It's a secret potion. Wow. So thankfully, she went to a doctor who actually took her pain seriously. And it was determined that she had a growth on her nerves in her foot, and that was causing her the pain. Thankfully, it wasn't causing her pain every time she took a step. It wasn't like that, but it certainly was. Would just hit at times. You know, nerves are very fragile things, and it doesn't take much if there's an irritation or something blocking one for it to just zing. And so it was actually a wild thing to watch, because we would just, for instance, be sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden she'd go, ah! And she would just be in dire pain. And so, thankfully, we found the right team of doctors who did what should have been done, took an MRI, found this growth that was the size of a small lime. This was no little thing here, gang. I mean, a lime is pretty big. It doesn't take much for, if anybody's had any kind of health thing, it doesn't take much for your body to react to something that shouldn't be there. Something the size of a lime, you can only imagine the kind of pain that she was going through. And so she had to get surgery to take this out. So long story short, thankfully, the surgery is a complete success. In fact, the doctor was almost doing... you know, the little sidekick, you know, like when you jump and you hit the side, like he was jumping for joy. He's a neurosurgeon. He deals with nerves, and he also does, you know, brain surgery. So I'm sure that a lot of times He's dealing with a lot of really, intense and complex and serious types of things. And while this was certainly serious, it's not something like a brain surgery. And it went so well, I think he's always used to passing on kind of, well, we got in there and we did the best we could kind of stuff. A lot of times I'm sure that maybe a doctor that deals in brain surgery sometimes has to really pass on some bad news. And so here, apparently this surgery just went not only as planned, but better than planned. And so, you know, when the doctor comes to the waiting room after the surgery's done to just talk to the family or the loved ones and let you know how it went. I mean, he had a bigger smile. I thought the guy won the lottery. I mean, he like hugged me, literally. And he just had this big smile on his face. And he's like, and he just punctuated with his hand. He's like, the surgery went perfectly. Oh, he was so excited. And so good news for that. So now my wife had to, she had to keep a lot of weight, all weight off of her foot for at least a week. She had the foot like on a semi-cast, and she was using crutches and a walker and basically just living life from the kitchen, from the couch to the bathroom. And I had to help her up and that first couple, and even after that, now she's still even kind of wearing a boot, although she's weaning herself off of that. But for the first week and a half or so, say 2 weeks, she was pretty much out of commission. So, guess who had to become caregiver? Now, I have some experience being a caregiver. My mom, before she passed away, lived with my wife and me for, about 3 years. And her health did steadily decline, and so we were her caregiver. So we certainly had some experience in that. And if anybody has been a caregiver for a loved one, especially, not professionally, but if you've just been a caregiver for a loved one, it's not easy. It's not easy. I always felt in my situation that I wasn't doing anything great. I felt it was my responsibility. It wasn't an obligation. Both my parents needed my help, and they were there for me when I was a little kid, and I couldn't fend for myself. And now, at this point in their lives, I felt that it was my responsibility to help them out. But it is not easy, it changes the dynamic in your house, especially if you're living with them. But it's not easy. And caregivers out there, if you are out there, believe me, I empathize with you. And you are doing God's work, because it is not, and professional caregivers as well as just family caregivers within your family, if you're caring for someone, believe me, I know what it's like, and I know how difficult and frustrating it can be at times, but you're doing a great thing for people that need you and want you to help them. And so in those stressful times, in those times that you want to just pull your hair out, you want to scream, just know that what you're doing is appreciated, even if the person can't communicate that to you, and you are doing some really important work. So I had to become a caregiver, and that's fine. I enjoy doing that to some extent. And we will talk about that after we take a quick break. But first, let me just tell you this. In the Kashmir Woods spray, there is lemon, orange flower, lily of the valley, jasmine, sandalwood, amber, vanilla bean, and oak moss. I think it's the vanilla bean that does it for me, as well as that amber and the lemon, which is the citrus. So nice. That's my scent, Kashmir Woods. We'll take a quick break. Before we take a break, though, we're going to do something that we like to do here on the show every so often, apparently on a regular basis, I believe, which is Walter Jacobson's Perspective, which is sponsored by thehearinghealthcenter.com. So here is Walter Jacobson's Perspective.
This Christmas week is a good week for a good ending to a bad story about Paige Dotson. Does that name ring a bell, Paige Dotson? She's the Chicago college student who was $20,000 in debt to the United States government. $20,000 in debt on the way to $40,000 or $50,000 because the government reneged on a promise to her father, Russell Dotson, 22 years in the Navy, a decorated veteran for his service during the war in Afghanistan. When Russell Dotson was asked to extend his service, he did. And for that, the Navy promised to transfer his GI college benefits to his daughter, Paige. But somewhere along the way, the Navy made a mistake. A bookkeeping mistake that led the Navy to mistakenly stop funding Paige's student loan and mistakenly demand that she pay the Navy $20,000. For 2 years, Paige and her dad tried to tell the Navy about its mistakes and its reneging on its promise, but the Navy would not listen. Not until a story about it in the Chicago Sun-Times embarrassed the Navy, forced it to acknowledge the mistakes, renege its renege on the promise to Russell Dotson, waive his daughter's $20,000 debt, and restart her student loan. Because of all that, the Navy is investigating its GI student loan program and admitting it's finding more veterans' children who've lost student loans because of mistakes and the Navy reneging on promises to their fathers. So now the Navy is promising to restart those loans, and it darn well better not renege on them. I'm Walter Jacobson, and that's my perspective. For more, visit WGNradio.com or download the WGN Radio app.
I love hearing Orion Samuelson. My wife Glory and I go to, where do they go? What's the name of that? Jameson's. We go to Jameson's for the O-rings. Oh, I love Orion. Orion used to be on the afternoon show when I was on there. And used to love when Orion would either come in into the studio live or he would be on the phone. But I love when he came in live. Big guy. I don't know if you ever saw Orion Samuelson in person, but tall guy, very distinguished. And he would always wear a suit, which not a lot of people used to do anymore in the radio. But he would wear a suit. But one day he came in and he had it was so cool. I was like, Orion, you are the coolest octogenarian I've ever met. He walked into the studio with this leather black vest. He didn't look like one of the village people. He still looked like Orion. But it was just, he looked so cool. And I'm like, Orion, I'm loving that vest. And every time I see him, I ask him, do you still have the black leather vest?
I'm sure Gloria loves the black leather vest.
But, Orion, I haven't spoken to him in a long time. But what a legend, what a great guy, and just a part of the fabric here at WGN. I'm not necessarily part of the fabric. I'm kind of a part of the rug, I guess. I don't know. But Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio here at WGN 720. I'll be here till 4 a.m. And, just before I continue my story about my facing my fears, when I'm trying to be a little Oprah-esque for you this morning as we get, closer to the new year. But we're talking about the new year, and I was talking about we're going to be going into the second fifth of the 21st century. Now, someone wrote me and said, well, we're only in the 19th year. So, sorry to burst your bubble. I thank you for the text. I understand that. You know, there was a lot of commotion and a lot of, controversy when we went from 1999 to the year 2000. Aside from Y2K, and nothing happened with that. But there was a lot of, everybody was saying, well, you know, everybody said, well, welcome to the new millennium. And people, the sticklers, and I'm usually a stickler for things. The sticklers were saying, well, wait a minute, it's not really the first year of the millennium. The first year will be when we finish 2000 and we go to 2001. Then that will be because we didn't start at one. You know, we start at zero when they started with the calendar. I understand that. But in 1999, it was pretty cool to go from 1999 to 2000. And as I said earlier last week or so, it's like when the odometer on your car goes from like 999 to 1,000, then all those zeros, turn around. And I don't even know how many cars have odometers anymore that have the little wheels, so maybe I'm talking about something that doesn't even exist anymore. But we like to see when numbers change from, a bunch of numbers to a bunch of zeros. And so, yes, we all understood that, but it was cool and it was fun, and everybody got to wear the big 2,000 glasses like they'll be wearing in a couple of days. Now, I did see a show with the 2020 glasses. Because, you know, everybody that's good goes out, you know, on New Year's Eve, and especially down in New York, when they go down to Times Square, they all have the glasses with the whatever the year is. And for a while, it was really good for the guys who made the glasses, you know, in the aughts, in the 20-aught ones and 20-aught twos, because the zeros were good for the eyeglasses. So when they used to wear those glasses and you'd see them on television with the 20, and it would say 20001 and 20002, all the way to 2009 was perfect for a set of glasses. And then, of course, the 2010s came in, and then they had to start to do a little weirdness with the ones and everything. So I saw how they're going to do the 2020s, because a 2 is huge. You can't look through a 2. So you can look through the first 0 in one eye, but you can't look through a 2 for more than, you know, 10 minutes before I get in a headache. So now I would assume that these are going to be the official 2020 glasses that you will see many people wearing. I'm probably here in Chicago as well, but certainly from Times Square, if you ever watch that live coverage when they drop the ball. So what they've done, I think out of necessity, is actually the 2020 sits on top of the actual lenses. So the glasses are the glasses, just like normal glasses, and the 2020 sits on top of those. It's really a big pair of glasses. It's Elton John kind of glasses here. It's like, wow. The other ones were cool, but I think it's become such a staple now to have these glasses that have the new year on them that people want to wear. So now with that 2 on it, I think they're just going to have to raise it, at least this pair did, and put them over on top, sitting on top of the lens, as opposed to looking through the 2. Because I would think that looking through the 2, unless there is a way, maybe, you know, a smart engineer here at the dollar store, which I'm sure this is where they sell these things, maybe you could look through the curve of the 2. So maybe this was just, maybe this pair that I saw on television, maybe this guy, whoever, or woman, whoever designed these just were cheating. Maybe they were just lazy. Maybe there's a creative way, perhaps, now as I think about it, for the curve of the 2, for you to look through that when you wear the glasses with the 2020 glasses for New Year's Eve. So you got the 0, no problems there. The other eye may be a little obscured, but maybe if you can make the 2, you can look through that, and that's going to be good for another 10 years. And then you think about it, when you get to 2030, you have that curvature again. And even in the 4, if you make the 4 with the hole in the middle, I think we're going to be good maybe forever, because you got the 8, you got a couple of zeros there too, right? You got a couple of holes. We might be good, but we'll see how the 2020 glasses look. But maybe now that I'm thinking about it, you can look through the curve of the 2. Interesting. Are you going to be wearing those glasses? I will not. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to continue with my story after the news. And as I said, I was playing caregiver for my wife after she had some foot surgery that could have kept her out of commission in terms of walking. So I had to do a lot of the things around the house and help her with her meals and everything. She was pretty much, you know, couch ridden, not bedridden. She was couch ridden. But her being unable to walk around and do many of the things that she does on a regular basis made me face one of my serious fears, one that I think I had pretty much tried to just avoid almost my entire life. But I faced it. I overcome it. I overcame it. And now I relish it. We'll be back after this. No switching. Jim Toronto with you this morning, filling in for Nick DiGilio. Not officially the morning yet, but we're inching up slowly, slowly to it. I guess it's still the evening. We've only got about a minute left, and then when I say the morning, I'll be correct. But I'm filling in for Nick DiGilio this evening / morning. I'll be here till 4 a.m. Hope you'll stay along with me as we tiptoe toward 2020. And after the news, I will continue my story about facing one of my great, great fears. I was forced to when I became a caregiver for my wife after she had some foot surgery. But I want to share with you how I faced one of my great fears, a fear that I had been able to push aside for most of, if not all of my life. And suddenly I was confronted with it. I confronted it. I conquered it. And now I bathe in the glory of conquering it, and I relish doing it. Now that is something that's worth listening for. So right after the news, I will continue my story with that. Good morning. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN 720 AM. It is officially now good morning. And so now I will not be confused with the whole evening morning thing. Good morning. How you doing? Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. I'll be here for till 4 a.m., so I hope you will stick around. If you got insomnia, if you're coming back from the third shift, if you're going to the third shift, I don't know when this third shift starts or stops. I always just keep hearing about the third shifters. So if you're a third shifter, let me know. I'm not sure when that starts, when it ends, but I know it's out there. And I know that for some reason, you're able to listen to the radio at this time of the morning. I appreciate you staying up with me for whatever reason, whether the baby's crying, whether you have insomnia, whether you just like to stay up late or stay up early, whatever you want to call it, and just listen to the radio. I always think it's a good idea to just find a very comfortable chair or your comfortable couch, get a nice little beverage. Doesn't have to be hard. Could be just, a nice little cup of coffee or some tea, maybe. Around this time of the year, maybe a little eggnog with a little nutmeg in it. Oh, God, I love eggnog. I'm just passing this on as sharing with you, the listener. I've tasted a lot of eggnogs in my day. I consider myself an eggnog connoisseur, and I must say that the best eggnog that I've tasted is right here in the Chicago area. In Illinois at Oberweis. Once again, I'm not getting no paid endorsements here. I'm just letting you know. If you want a good nog, Oberweis eggnog, and you got to get it in the glass bottle. It's more fun to pour into your glass. And my wife drove me crazy the other day because I like to have my nog. I mean, eggnog is very thick. It's almost something that you sip. You don't gulp it. It is kind of those little, and some people do spike it with a little alcohol. And I've never tried that, to be honest with you, because I just really love the taste of eggnog with nutmeg. But if you do spike it with something, let me know. 312-981-7200 is the phone number or the text number. What tastes good in eggnog? I don't know. I just like my nog straight. And with a little nutmeg on the top, but you can't gulp it. You can't drink it fast. It is kind of a drink to just sit with for a while. That's why I say it'd be really nice right now if you have some eggnog in the house, just to find your favorite chair or find your favorite couch. Dim the lights a little and sip on a little nog and enjoy the radio. I don't know. That sounds like a pretty nice way to spend the next 4 hours. If I was able to do that, that's what I would do. But, the Oberweis eggnog is really, really good. But my wife was driving me crazy the other day because I always put my nog in a drink glass. A glass that you would put, some whiskey in or, with something on the rocks. Those kind of glasses. They're cocktail glasses. Not long. The little short squat ones. And, that's what I pour my eggnog in when I sit with my eggnog and with my nutmeg in it, and I swirl it a little, and it's kind of like my own, it's like my eggy scotch. But that's like a scotch glass. You know what I'm talking about? So that's what I always pour my eggnog in. And whenever I would give my wife a glass of eggnog as well, I will say, glass of nog? And she will say, yeah. And when I bring that glass to her, it's always in one of those cocktail glasses. Well, the other day, she went and got some eggnog on her own. And she comes into the living room with eggnog in like a mug kind of glass. Now, what I like about the cocktail glass with the nog is because, you know, it's clear. So you see your nog. It's always nice to see the drink you have. But so she had a clear mug, these great mugs. Once again, no commercial endorsement, but Crate and Barrel has these great, like, frosted, they're not even frosted, but they're great for, like, root beer or any kind of pop or any kind of, like, you know, soft drink beverage. You put a lot of ice in them, and they're these nice kind of ribbed on the side. They almost look like mason jars. Well, not mason jars. They look like old-time mugs. They used to have them, then they went away, now they came back again. But they kind of have like a ribbed exterior. But they're clear, they're glass, they're heavy duty, they're heavy mugs. But we have a ton of these because we break them because we use them so much. But we have a ton of them. But instead of using the correct cocktail glass for the nog, she used the mug. And so she walks in and I said, wait. I had to throw a flag. I had to throw a penalty flag on that. No, you don't do the eggnog in the mug. The mug is for root beer or a soft drink with ice. You know, we have become very glass oriented in our world today. I remember when my godson got married. He and his wife, for the registration for their shower, they wanted so many different kinds of glasses. I said, "Are you guys starting a bar? Are you opening a tavern?" Because they had every type of alcoholic glass. I mean, there are glasses now for every kind of drink. But in my mind, this Crate and Barrel mug with the ribbed sides, is strictly for soft drinks with ice. And the cocktail glass is certainly good for any of your hard liquors on the rocks, but also serves well for eggnog because you don't have a lot. You don't want to have a lot because it's a heavy drink. But she came in with the nog, and her excuse was, well, it has it has the handle on it, so it's easier to carry. I understand that. But when it comes to eggnog, you have to make the sacrifice of the convenience of the handle on the mug for the experience and the overall effect of the nog in a cocktail glass. Because, as I said, in some cases, there may be some alcohol in the nog. Many people do spike their nog with something, even though we don't necessarily do that. So it fits to be in a cocktail glass. So I had to throw the yellow flag, and I had to give her a 5-yard penalty for illegal use of a mug because she used the wrong glass for her eggnog. But anyway, love eggnog. So if you're sitting around right now, get your favorite drink, dim the lights, find a comfortable chair, and enjoy the next, 3.5 hours or so here at WGN Radio 720 AM with me, Jim Tirano, Elton Jim, filling in for Nick DiGilio. And we'll take a quick break. Jim Tirano with you here at WGN 720 AM in Chicago. Filling in for Nick DiGilio, be here till 4 AM. I was just looking at the text lines. I was talking about eggnog. And I did ask if you spike your eggnog with anything. I go straight. I really love the taste of eggnog with a little nutmeg. Now, my wife puts cinnamon. They're kind of similar, but I'm more traditional. I think eggnog is the nutmeg is the more traditional spice that goes with the eggnog. I suppose you could use cinnamon if you want to be some radical. But, you know, I'm a traditionalist. I'm old school. I go with the Meg. I like my nog with Meg, okay? so according to some of the people on the text line here, rum or bourbon seems to be the prevailing spike, if you will, to the eggnog to give it a little kick. If you're looking for a little holiday, real holiday joy. I just love the taste of eggnog on its own, so I don't really go for the, I guess, the elevated version. But it sounds like rum and or bourbon. I don't think you'd put them both. That would be a little scary. But rum and or bourbon, from what I'm looking at the text line here, seems to be the popular added alcohol to give your eggnog a little perk, if you will. Anyway. Back to my fear story. As I was saying earlier, I had to become caregiver for my wife. She had some foot surgery, so she was pretty much, out of commission to walk at all for, you know, almost 10 days. And even then, it was slow moving as she recuperated and got the stitches removed and things like that. So for at least a good 7 to 10 days, I was playing Hazel. And Google that, you younger people. But I was it was my job to do the things around the house. Now, my wife and I, we don't have any children, so we've been married for many years. We've just kind of organically divided up the chores and responsibilities around the house. There was no. We didn't sit down and negotiate. It just sort of fell that way. And I do like to do, if you listen to me with any kind of regularity, you know that I that little mug story should give you a little insight. It's no picnic living with an Elton Jim. There's no question about that. And I even know that. And she is a saint, and I've already talked to the Pope, and he's already put in a request for a canonization. So that's all happening. She's a saint. We know that. It will happen for her one day. Her two miracles are living with me more than 5 minutes. Those count as miracles for her. But so we just kind of, the responsibilities around the house just sort of fell into, I just started doing that and she started doing this and it's worked out fine. And as I said, I like to do, I love to vacuum. I vacuum. I like to... Now, I'm a very anal. I mean, if there's something that's really not in the right place, and define right, but if it's not where it should be, or if it's a little crooked, I will go over there and I will straighten it. So that's how scary I am. But I will dust. I will do the yard things. I will change a bulb. Thank you very much. I will do my share, and. But there is one thing that I have been either fearful of or just found a way to never have to do. I don't know if it was just a fear or just an aversion to. But I never have washed my own clothes. Now, I don't know if that there's a collective shock going over the entire Chicago area and the 37 states that this is broadcasting over on our 50,000 watts here. But I have never really washed my own clothes. I never lived alone. I didn't live. I didn't go away to college. I stayed at home. I lived at home until I was 25, 26 before I got married. And while I was at home, yeah, I'll admit it. My mom did my wash. From diapers to diapers. No, I didn't wear diapers. No. From diapers on. From diapers to jockeys. From diapers to boxers. Yeah, okay. I admit it. So I never did the wash. And then when I got married, my wife, there's so many rules with the wash. And so... rather than learn the rules, and my head was spinning when I'd hear the rules about warm water and cold water and adding Downy and adding all these different things, and then just looking at the washing machine and these dials, the series of dials, it looked like Mission Control. when they were launching a rocket this summer, when they were showing film of the Apollo landing on the moon, and they showed the mission control with those old films with those guys wearing the white shirts and the crew cut haircuts and the glasses all smoking and hitting buttons on those computers at mission control to launch and land the lunar module. That's to me what a washer and a dryer looks like. It's like launching a rocket. I feel like I'm at mission control. Scariest two machines I've ever seen. And they sit right next to one another, just taunting you. So that was one thing. I didn't want to be accused of shrinking anything or ruining clothes. And I've seen these at times when all of a sudden some bleach gets on something and it changes the color. You know, way too many rules and way too many consequences for not doing the wash correctly. So, Mom, what a great mom, never was even a question. She just washed the clothes. God love you, Mom. When we got married with my wife, I don't even think I ever said I will not do the wash. I just think that my wife had her own way of doing it, and she said, I'm just going to do it. So she did it. Fine. That was one. As I said, we had these organic chores that just sort of went to us. Now, I don't know. You know, we are in a different age now. We're in a Me Too generation, and we are in an era of female empowerment. I don't know if now men are, you know, supposed to do wash now. It's not just a woman's job anymore. It's certainly, I mean, my God, guys live all alone, right? They go to the laundromat, so it's not like guys have never done it. But it does seem like the wash has always been kind of a female job. And I'm not endorsing that or not. Mine was more literally. It wasn't about, you know, gender roles. It was really about fear of ruining the clothes. And if I have anybody to blame for my aversion to doing the wash, it's probably dates back to me watching a lot of sitcom shows from the 50s and 60s, like Lucy and things. Because if you ever watch those shows, when Ricky or Fred or, you know, Mr. Brady or any man decided to do the wash, inevitably for comic effect, he didn't know how to do the wash, and he shrunk something. And when the wife or the female in the story pulled all the wash out of the dryer, she said, look at what you did to my blouse. You shrunk it, and it was like baby clothes, and it looked like a little kid's shirt. And my fear was that I would do that to my wife's clothes, that they would be like baby clothes. And so that was my aversion to washing the clothes. It was not about, oh, that's a girl's job or that's a woman's job. No, I was afraid that I would ruin the clothes and I would shrink them down to baby clothes size that they would use on the Lucy show. So that was my aversion. But as I said, I was now faced with having to do the wash because my wife was couch ridden. So when we take a quick break here, I will take a phone call, and then I will continue about how I faced my fear with those two imposing machines, the washer and, don't forget, its counterpart, equally scary, the washing machine and the dryer. Right after this, no switching. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning at WGN 720 AM. A few little housekeeping items here. I was talking about eggnog earlier. Got a couple more texts here. Cognac in the eggnog apparently is a popular addition to give your eggnog a little extra holiday cheer. and also brandy. So far, bourbon and rum and cognac and brandy seem to be the popular additions to give your eggnog a little extra kick around the holidays. I'm going to go to the phones here and talk to Carol. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, I'm by myself, but that's fine. Although I have been accused of having several personalities, so that's fine. Go ahead.
I was just laughing my rear end off about your comments about not using the washing machine.
Is it? Well, yeah. I mean, it's a scary machine. We men are afraid of those two machines. You know,
it's not. With my husband, with dude laundry and his dad, it's like, I'm like, no, hon, you got to push the button in.
Well,
turn it to what you want, and then pull the button out.
Okay. Thank you, Carol. I'm gonna. You know, I was gonna talk. I was gonna talk about this, and I will mention it.
Today, 50 years old.
What did you just say? You said you take the knob and you pull it out, right?
You don't turn it without the knob out. You turn it to what you want,
and then you
when the knob is in, and then you pull the knob out on the setting that you want.
I understand that, but here's my problem. What do you do with most knobs? You push a knob. Why do you pull the knob?
Man, I don't know.
Why do you?
I don't know what you people do.
No, they're because
they're not people. They're aliens.
Well,
today, okay, 23 years later, I bring home super glue. He's going to fix something. And I'm like, okay, I can do it. And I know I can. And I'm like, no, you said you're going to do it. She's like, well, how do you get the cap off? I'm like, oh, you're going to be kidding me.
Oh, no, sometimes.
You're going to be kidding me.
Yeah, sometimes, Carol, we do play dumb. There's no question about that.
Jesus Christ. What would you do without us?
Not much. That's why. To use the words.
A great wife.
No, she's a saint. And remember those old commercials for Geritol? Where the guy said, my wife, I think I'll keep her.
Yeah.
Well, Carol, have a great...
But my problem is...
What's that?
I said to him, okay, here's another one. Here's another fast one.
Right.
Well, I can't shave my face. I need the shaver that you use for your legs. I go, what?
No, I've never done that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I don't do that. That little pink shaver that you have in the bathroom, that's for you. You don't put that...
The electric one. I'm like, seriously?
No.
Did your father not teach you how to shave?
No. You got to use your own shaver for your face and the woman's shaver for their legs. No question.
It's funny.
Okay.
But I caught your conversation. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, thank you so much and have a great New Year, Carol. I appreciate you staying up.
You can't live without her. You know that.
I do know that. That's why I've been with her for many years. I already am. Take care.
No. Well, I love listening to you guys.
Thank you so much. Take care, Carol.
All right.
Happy New Year to Carol. Thank you. Yes. So I will talk about that because the washing machine, anyway. So as I'm saying, I had to face my fear. I never washed the clothes. I lived at home until I got married in my mid-20s. My mom did the wash. I didn't live on my own. I didn't go away to college. When I get married, my wife, as I said, I was afraid of really shrinking the clothes because there's so many rules. Certain clothes have to be in hot water. Certain clothes have to be in cold water. Some have to be in hot/cold. Some have to be in cold/cold, which I don't understand. What is cold/cold? It's either cold or it's not cold. What is cold/cold? As I said, these dials on my washing machine and the drying machine, it looks like mission control. I'm launching a rocket. There's that much stress. Oh my gosh, don't put the whites with the darks. Don't put the cold with the hots. Don't put the downy in before you put the pods in. I don't know. Whoa, what the heck is going on? I'm just trying to wash some clothes. It's 2019, almost 2020. You mean to tell me that we could go to the moon, we can have internet, you can have a GPS, that I could be driving in Antarctic and all of a sudden I have a right that says turn at the next iceberg? And yet, we can't have a washing machine and a dryer that has one button? You just press one button? Why do it have to be 17 buttons? I counted between my washer and dryer, which sit next to each other. We don't have a front loader. We have one of the older ones. Because, you see, look, I don't use the washer and dryer, so I don't really see the need to get a new one. No, I'm just joking. So, but I counted. There's what? 3, 3, 6, 5. There's about 9 or 10 different knobs and buttons between the two machines. What the heck is going on? In this day and age, There can't be one button. I push one button to start my car. I don't even use a key anymore. But for some reason, the wash needs 85 buttons. As I said to Carol on the phone here, of all the machines that we have, at least in the home, in terms of appliances that both men and women use, of all the machines, which ones have a knob that you pull out? None, except this washing machine. Now, uh-oh, I've got... Go on.
I just have to ask,
yeah.
How old is your washing dryer?
Why does that mean? Should there not be?
Listen, my washing machine. You go and you push a button.
Really?
Yes, you push the type of water you want, warm, cold, right. Hot, whatever. Yeah. Boom, and then you test what type of cycle.
Right.
No, just like mine says, like it's super wash or heavy wash.
Do you have
heavy
front rinse. Load or?
Mine are top loads.
Okay.
We just got rid of we just bought a new one, and I'm literally it's two buttons and it's
really washed. Well, ours are probably
so.
Ours are about. Ours are about probably at least 20 years old.
30, 40. The last one I had that I just got rid of, you turn to the scent that what you wanted and you hit on it. Like,
really?
Yeah. So I ask again.
All right.
How old? All right.
Well, here. I have to see. These are my instructions that my wife. These are the instructions. I'm going to read the instructions that my wife gave
me. I'm going to say real quick and let you go.
Yeah.
I think it's time for new washer.
Well, as I said, half joking, half not, I don't use the washer and dryer, so it's really not a priority to me.
That's another thing that you were treading in very lukewarmish water earlier.
You mean hot, cold, or hot, hot?
Yeah, you were dipping
I understand that.
In an area that my wife would have been like, who is this dude?
I'm saying women, washing the clothes is not a woman's or man's job.
I will say this. My children have been washing their own clothes since about the age of 10 or 11.
All right, good for you.
I wash my own clothes. My wife washes her own. And
no, as I said, my fear was not about any macho thing. It was literally because of all these rules, hots, colds, darks, lights, don't put bleach in this. I was afraid of ruining the clothes. And then, as I said, when I watched Lucy shows, they'd pull out, they'd say, what did you do? Ricky, wah, Ricky, look what you did to my.
So that scarred you?
They'd pull out this little baby shirt and she'd say, look what you did to my blouse.
It's very easy. Now, if they're whites, you put them in one side, you put bleach in it. Everything else pretty much can go together.
My head's already spinning.
Side.
What? What?
And it's so easy now. They have little compartments for the bleach that you just pour it in. You don't have to pour it in a certain time. You pour it in early, and it turns on all by itself. If you want to put fabric softener, you pour that in at the beginning, too.
Okay, yeah, you see what I look. Let me look at my list. So my wife, says, okay, you're going to have to do the wash.
I wish everyone could see you right now because you are so like, let me look at my list.
Because number two is add a cupful of Downy to the agitator.
Yeah, that's the thing that shakes in a minute.
Yeah, now many people, I thought I would add a cup of Downy to myself because I'm an agitator. But no, first of all, why is that such a mean word?
It agitates.
Shouldn't
things.
It just be tumbler?
No, isn't because that's a dryer. The dryer tumbles.
Yeah, I know, but this way, but you see the nice... symmetry
no,
then?
I don't want nice. I want my clothes to be agitated.
You have a tumbler in your washer, and then your dryer tumbles. See? See how nice? Because they sit next to each other. So if I got a new... I got a question. Did my wife call you to make me...
I'm on your wife's side here. You need a new washer and dryer, buddy.
I'm thinking
next
maybe
you're
she
tell me that you're running it out on a cord and back and drying it, but you can't in the winter because it's too cold. Is that how you dry your clothes?
Well, whatever happened to the poor companies that made the clotheslines?
Come on, man.
Are they out of business?
Come on.
I mean, 25 years ago, you walked down any street, and in the summer, you saw clotheslines.
It sounds to me like you got the very first washer and dryer. And you still have it.
Why? Just because there's a squirrel in there?
Is that how you pay for all your Elton Johns?
Yeah, exactly. Look, I'd love to get you a new washer and dryer, but Elton's playing in New York right now.
I got to save this money.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that washboard. It's a nice washboard.
You have an abacus as well.
Yeah, just because and just because my wife has, you know, she has some, her calluses look nice.
You salt your meat and keep it in a cooler out
her,
back.
The calluses on her finger are beautiful from the washboard.
Whoever you are, I don't know how you put up with this, man. I don't. Please buy her. I don't even mean it like that. Please buy yourself a new washer and dryer so you can learn how to use your finger. Push
I'll tell
buttons.
You, if they're as easy as you are saying.
Super easy.
Now. All right.
Anyone call it? Anyone has gotten a new washer in the last 2-3 years? Five, 10 years?
No, it's been 20. It's been 20 years.
I've been in my house 10 years. This is my second washer, the first. Yeah, and each one were extremely easy.
No, it's no. Well, I don't know if we did. I know we've had to call the guy.
There's no possible way you've gotten a new washer in 20 years.
And then what's that thing you pull out thing you pull out.
The lint trap?
Oh, my God.
You have to pull the lint trap. You can start a fire.
But it's like a frog's it's like the frog's tongue.
You should really, every time you change the dryer, just pull the lint trap
and knock it. I understand that. But she said, don't forget, pull the lint trap.
My brother didn't do that once. It started a fire in our house when we were young.
I know, but I was walking across the room. How long is this lint trap?
That means you guys don't pull your lint trap often. You need to pull it a little bit more.
No, it's long. I'm saying it's long. The actual trap.
That's got to be your old.
It's so long. I was like pulling it. I'm like, where does this thing end?
Can I come see this thing? I feel like we should donate it to a museum.
Well, it's going
to
be next month. There's a new exhibit. I'm at the Museum of Science and Industry.
You're taking the original. It's got your washer has like a barrel in the middle.
Yeah, instead of the coal mine, they're going into my washer.
Please get a new washer, guys.
I will.
Seriously,
thank you. Thank you. I know this sounds crazy, but it's true. So I'm going to take a quick break here and continue. So I'll tell you about, because as I said, my wife actually, and I have the official list here on my scratch paper, she made me a list of eight steps to wash, to make a, should there be eight steps to wash the clothes when I'm staring down at mission control with all these dials. And once again, I have to pull a knob out. That is so counterintuitive. You don't pull a knob out. You push a knob in. Press. Not pull. But on a washing machine, for some reason, the knob you pull out to start. Never heard of that. Don't understand that. Whew. Anyway, I'm sweating in here. I might have to wash my shirt when I'm done. Oh, no. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGiulio. We'll be back after this. No switching. Jim Toronto with you this morning at WGN 720 AM, filling in for Nick DiGiulio. We'll be here till 4 AM. I was continuing my discussion about facing one of my great fears in life, and that was facing the washer and dryer. I have never really washed my own clothes. My wife had some foot surgery. She wasn't able to walk around, especially go down to the basement, and so for the first time, I really had to face my fears and use those two scary machines known to most civilians as the washer and dryer. And, even when you think about where we put the washer and dryer in the house, it's always in this scary corner of the basement or this scary corner of the utility room. It's always out of the way, scary. It's these two ominous machines that are just taunting you to say, come here. And I dare you to put clothes in me because you don't know if I'm going to shrink them or not. And so I had to face this fear because I needed fresh clothes, right? So I told my wife, okay, I'm going to do the wash. I'm going to face my fear, but you have to tell me how to do this. So she wrote a list of 8 steps. And here is what it says. It starts off with how to wash clothes. No, I am not 7 years old. 1, run sink water to warm. First, open the lid, it says. Open lid in parentheses, the top loading lid. Open the lid. Number two, add a cupful of Downy to the middle agitator, which I think is a horrible and violent and aggressive name for any kind of machine that you're going to use. An agitator. Wow. That's why I'm scared again. That's scary. Let's come up with a nice, the tumbler. That's all. An agitator, mean, angry. Ooh. And add warm water to the agitator to that fabric softener. Okay. Then add two Tide Pods to the washing basin. Now, that surprised me that I would put the pods into the basin before I put the clothes in. That seemed counterintuitive to me. I didn't believe it until I had to do it. But I was like, are you sure? And she just shrugged and said, and rolled her eyes, which is a common occurrence in my home whenever I ask her a question about things. And so, So then I said, then she said, put a cupful of the, you know, those new beads, those kind of beads you put in things now they have, and they've discovered some new thing to, you know, charge $7 for. Anything to do with, that's the other thing too, boy, is the detergents and all that stuff. Very expensive to wash clothes. I still think we should use soap and the good old washing board. But so then I put those beads in, again, into the basin without the clothes. That seemed odd to me. I always remember my mom putting the clothes in and then putting the detergent over them. But it's a new era, right? Okay. Then it says add clothes. She had to actually, that's number five, add clothes. She actually felt the need to write add clothes as one of the steps because she figured I would not know to put the clothes into the washing machine. So she did put add clothes. And then number six is my favorite, close lid. She actually had to say close lid. Then here's the one where, oh, this was so stressful. It was worse than the ACTs. It was worse than any, it was worse than, you know, getting your driver's license for the first time. Set the dials. Oh, here we go. Visions of the shrunken clothes and the from the Lucy show with the baby clothes coming out and saying, Ricky, look what you did to my shirt. On the left, dial on the left, set to cold/cold. I don't know what that means. It's either cold or it isn't. Why are you confusing me with these different kinds of settings on this machine? What does cold/cold mean? What is cold/cold? But that's what she wants, cold/cold. Large load. So, okay, then on the right, big dial, it says. Push in, turn to right, and set to delicate. Once again, why am I having to push this dial in? Why all this these dials and these knobs? You press a button. Why am I pushing in and turning and then pulling out? I don't understand. Why are you complicating this? Hit the delicate and number eight, close lid, pull big knob to start. Pull the big knob. Why am I pulling the big knob out? I should be pressing it. You're making this more difficult. The engineers who did this machine, I'm not sure. I have a theory about why this washing machine is so complex with the knobs that are counterintuitive, at least maybe to the male brain, or at least to my brain. I'm wondering if, in the grand scheme of things, when they were designing the washing machine and the drying machine, but maybe the washing machine more, I wonder, most likely at the time, it was probably engineered by a man, and I'm just not making, once again, I'm not making any kind of comments here, it's just, you know, 80 years ago, men were making machines, right? I wonder if men, in devising the washing machine, got together, the men engineers, and said, look, we don't really want to do the wash, but we're going to create a machine now that's going to make it easier. So if it's easier, we might be asked to do the wash. Because our wives will say, hey, we've got this machine now, and it's just a couple of buttons, and look how simple it is. Why don't you do the wash? And the men of the 40s and 50s, they didn't want to do the wash. They figured that was women's work. So I'm wondering if the men of the time who engineered and designed the washing machine didn't make it so complex and so counterintuitive to the male brain that it's such an overload to the male brain that we just throw our hands up and say, I don't know how to do this. I can't do it. You're going to have to do it. And maybe that's one way that men got themselves out of having to do the wash for many years. Just a theory. But anyway, I put the wash in. I pulled the knob. I heard the water going. Later on, I heard the agitator agitating. And then I heard the spin. But my gosh, there's so much going on in that machine. That's the other thing. Why I think I'm so afraid of that machine, or I was afraid of it at one time. Because once you close the lid on that washing machine, there's so much going on. As I said, there's water shooting in. Then all of a sudden, there's another noise. Then there's our machine at least goes, eh, for some reason. There's these alarms and these bells and this churning and this agitator and there's water and there's this rumble. It's like you're in a Great America ride. And once you close that lid, you don't even know what's going on in that machine. Maybe if they made the washing machine completely transparent, we're in a transparent society now, right? Maybe if you made the entire washing machine, you know, plastic glass I could look through, I could see all of these different phases happening, the water, the rinse, the spin, and all that. And it would take away some of the fear, because right now I close that lid, I pull that knob, and that machine takes on a life of its own. Once again, it's like launching a rocket. When I pulled that knob, I crossed my fingers like when you watch those rocket launches go off from the 60s. And I was hoping that I would have a successful launch for my washing of the clothes. I was hoping that the machine wasn't going to smoke. I was hoping it wasn't going to shake, because my gosh, there's a lot of aggression going on there. There's tumbling and rinsing and spinning and agitating. Oh, half hour later, I came back, and much to my surprise, I opened up the lid like a kid at Christmas time, wondering what I got, and the clothes looked clean. They were all on the side, pressed against the side of the basin. Like, you know, when you know, the Great America, Six Flags used to have this ride, I don't know if they still have it, where, you know, you go to the amusement park, they had this ride that was like this anti-gravity thing, where you'd step into this kind of centrifuge and it would spin and you would stick to the walls. That was always a freaky thing. You'd be standing there and then the floor would drop and you'd be stuck to the wall. You're like in a centrifuge. That's what my clothes looked like on the side of the basin. And so then I looked at my list, I turned it over, and it said too dry. And this only had 4 points on it. Number one, take out clothes and put into dryer. She had to put that in there too. So I survived the launch. But as any engineer who worked on the Apollo 11 launch to the moon and back, the launch is one thing. But just important is the landing. You got to come back home safe too. And so me coming back home safe was the dryer. I had now washed my clothes. We had a successful launch. But now I had to bring this, the Eagle had to land. And so I will tell you about that right after this. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. We'll be back after this quick message. No switching. Jim Toronto with you here at WGN 720 in Chicago, filling in for Nick DiGilio. Be here till 4 a.m. Then we'll pass things along to the WGN morning TV news, the simulcast, which takes you through till 5 a.m. So hope you'll be sticking around. Stay up with us early this morning or late, whatever you want to call it. We are what we are. We are here until the early mornings, even though it does sort of feel like the evening, doesn't it? Wow, when I left to get to the station today, oh, horrible rain. We've been, over the last several weeks, we've been really spoiled with spring-like weather, and you almost forget it's the end of December, and you forget it's officially winter. And you forget that it should be right now probably in the low 30s. And if it's any kind of Chicago winter, by now it'd be in the 20s and maybe even some snow. But to be walking outside with no coat or just a light jacket on and the sun out, or even with no rain, I was just getting used to that. And suddenly I walked out of the home, my house this evening to come to the station. It was pouring. I went, oh, wait a minute. That's right. We can't ask for everything, but it has been kind of a nice little respite. We will certainly, I'm sure, get nailed with our usual Chicago winter within 2 or 3 weeks or so. But this has been a nice little Christmas present. This has been my best Christmas present, I think. I really hate snow and all the things that go along with it, especially the shoveling. So this has been a really nice little gift that the weather gods have given us. So let me finish up my story here. Facing my fear. For some people, it's climbing Mount Everest. For some people, it's jumping out of a plane. For some people, it is taking a test of some sort, an exam. For me, it was using the washer and dryer. It was like launching and landing a rocket. It was like mission control in 1960s. Way too many knobs, way too many rules, way too many things that could go wrong. Ultimately, the result of ruining clothes. Now, that's not the worst thing in the world. I understand that. If there's a little bleach stain on something, if something shrinks a little, it's not the end of the world. It kind of is when you think about, don't you have your favorite clothes? You know, you have that shirt or that blouse or that pair of sweatpants or that pair of jeans, whatever it is, that you just love to wear it. It's, you know, there's comfort food. We have comfort food and we have comfort clothes. And there's some parts of your wardrobe that you know are your comfort clothes, your go-to clothes. When you want to feel comfortable, you want to feel good, or you want to go to the pair of pants or the shirt that you know fits just right, that makes you feel good, either physically or even mentally. Hey, I think I look good in this, blah, blah, blah. You know there's those certain clothes that you have in your wardrobe. Your closet may be filled with tens of different combinations of shirts and pants and dresses, whatever you may be wearing. But you know that there's probably about 3 or 4 go-tos. As much as you have, there's always those go-to pants, those go-to blouses, those go-to sweats, whatever it may be, those go-to yogas, and those go-to leggings. We don't call them leggings anymore, right? Joe, we don't call them leggings anymore, right? Are they yoga pants now? I said Joe again, too.
I still call them leggings.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't call them, like, yoga pants?
No, I mean...
I called you Joe,
yoga by the way. Pants are different.
I owe you another dollar. I called you
Joe. You do owe me another dollar.
I owe you three now, but we'll keep a tally. But so those are not... You don't call them yoga pants?
No, yoga pants are different. Yoga pants are... They're a different texture than, like, your leggings. Leggings are a little thicker.
Oh, okay.
They're not really sweat resistant.
So there still are leggings and yoga pants.
There are still leggings and yoga pants. It's two separate things.
I thought that they just kind of merged.
No, you can't just merge it. One is a fashion thing and the other is like exercise.
Yeah, but a lot of women wear the yoga pants now out. They're not wearing it just to work out. They're wearing them out in the I mean, I
this
see them.
This is true, but a lot of women are just, you know.
Wow.
No shade, wow. No shade.
Wow, row. Pull. I didn't see those claws out there. Wow. But yeah, so you know you have your favorite. Right, row. Don't you have a pair of two or three kind of outfits or pants or shirts or jeans or blouse, whatever, that you just they're your favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
I about two or three.
As many clothes as you have, there's still probably two or three that you when in a jam, these are the ones you take.
Absolutely.
When if you're going to go on a vacation,
that's inevitable.
You take these when you go
inevitable.
On vacation.
The most comfortable, right? You know.
So that's my point. Is I'm my big fear about doing the wash. As I said earlier, it was not gender roles. It wasn't like men don't do wash. Not at all. It was more about my fear because there's so many rules about washing and drying and wet clothes, cold water, warm water, fabric softener, this, that, rinse, dry, spin, overload. Talk about overload. Not just the washer or dryer, my brain, overload, too much. I threw my hands up, can't do it. until I had to. As I said earlier in the show, my wife had foot surgery, and so I was forced into not only you know, doing other chores and helping her around while she was pretty much couch ridden and bedridden because of her foot surgery. But I had to face my my darkest fear, and that was using the washer and dryer. And so I got to the part of my story where I did finish the wash, and but like any good launch and landing, you have to land it too. Launch, good launch, great. You know, you talk to those people that worked on the Apollo 11 that went to the moon. We just, you know, celebrated the 50th anniversary this past summer. Yes, it was important for the thing to get launched, but it was just as important to land that sucker on the moon, and then you had to launch it off the moon, and it was important to land it back on Earth. So launches, successful launches, key, integral parts of the process, but landing almost more important because you want to get home. And in this analogy, my landing was doing the wash correct so that they weren't, the clothes were not shrunk, and I could wear them, right? So that's the landing. And I'm proud to say that even though I had to look at my list, where I had to, she actually had to write, transfer clothes from washer to dryer. But here was the scary one. Number three, set dials. Oh, more dials again. Big knob on left, move to dry. 1 o'clock on the dial, using a clock as a reference there. Small knob in the middle, used to light load. Close door, press on button. Finally, I got to press a button. I'm not pulling out knobs, not pushing in dials. I'm pressing an on button. Oh, at last. About a half hour later, I come down back to the dryer, and sure enough, the clothes were dry. The first thing I did was take them out and look at them. You know, just let them dangle, and they didn't look like baby clothes that got shrunk. They all looked the same size. I launched. I landed. The clothes were washed. The clothes were dried. Mission accomplished. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio this morning. We'll be here till 4 o'clock. Got lots to talk about. Phone number is 312-981-7200. You can call me or text me at that number. And when we come back, I'll surprise you. Just stick around. No switching.